Says, "Oh, what love! A live tour." These are, it says Watutu. These are orphans from Africa, and they've got a choir, and they travel around the world. These orphans singing in this choir, and they're going to be doing that over at their church by the fairgrounds there in Waterloo on Wednesday, April 22nd. So I'll put that out in case anybody would like to go see that. That'll be awesome. Amen. Honey, is somebody taking children today, or are we leaving upstairs? What are we doing? Oh, you're gonna take them? Thank you, Kim. Okay. Children, you want to go downstairs? By the way, my wife and I and my sister are putting together a children's program that is awesome. And I'm really excited. And when that comes into play, we're going to try to incorporate some of you parents as well in that, because it's such a good program, and we're going to try to, you know, we're going to need some help. We're going to need people that want to help us lead these children, and you know, in the things of the Lord, and bless them in that way. And so, but I'm telling you, this program that we've got, that we're working on and getting it ready, is going to be a wonderful thing for the kids. And so be praying about your part in the children of this church. We all need to keep in the back of our minds that it's our responsibility to raise up the next generation, right? It's our responsibility. Any church that, you know, and any body of believers that aren't concerned with the children, they're a dying church. Because if you don't reach your children for the Lord, if you don't steer them into things of the Lord, you're all going to grow old and die, and then there's going to be nobody left to come behind. And so we really need to invest in our children, and I'm looking forward to this program that's coming up. So be praying about that, you know, the part that perhaps God would use you in that. And again, parents, I'm looking forward to it, because I believe that you're going to be blessed by it too, and we're going to give you opportunity to help serve in that. I know it's going to be a good thing. So we have that to look forward to as well. Amen. Cruz. Oh, I never gave it to you. Cruz, you're doing a good job. Lessons of War. We are going to... My mistake. Yes, Lord, would you please give us a testimony? Wow. Amen. Let's praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Never give up. That's what I tell people. Especially when I pray with people that are terminal, and the doctors have said, "Oh, I'm only going to live another day." Well, you know what? You still have breath in your lungs, and God can do a miracle. And so I always will pray for life. I will always encourage one not to give up. Never give up, because God is awesome, and He does far more exceedingly and abundantly than what we ever could imagine He could do. And so, thank you, Jesus. That's right, I'll go without it. Hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. We're going to need them. Yeah. Aye, aye, aye. We have been talking about, turn to Matthew chapter 4. We have been talking about spiritual warfare. I've been doing a lot of talking about that. And I'm not sure how much longer we're going to continue in that, although I suspect I've already had... thoughts in my heart about Easter's message, maybe in those lines. But we've been talking about spiritual warfare in Matthew chapter 4. And I'm just going to read through it one more time. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Father, I am so grateful for your word. God, I just pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, would reach into our hearts and teach us and change us, Lord, and help us to be who it is you've called us to be and to understand what it is that's going on in the world around us and to be able to stand true in you. Bless this church today in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the don'ts that we learned in this message. Don't eat the stones. In other words, don't take substitutes for what God has for you, the real thing that God has for you. Don't substitute other things. Satan wanted Jesus to substitute these stones, turn them into bread. And Jesus said, "No, I'll live by the bread of life, thank you." And there were some examples of that, and there's a pretty cool, by the way, don't eat the bread in the back. You can drive a nail with it now. My wife made a nice little illustration about not eating the stones, and somebody had a piece of bread. I don't know who you were, but God bless you. It might have been one of the children. One of the simple examples I'll give, it was the idea that if you are getting your high from drugs and alcohol instead of from the presence of God, you're eating stones. We talked about don't jump off the temple. How Satan had taken Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple in the holy city and told him, "Cast yourself down. Throw yourself off." And so the point there was, don't jump off the temple. Satan can't push you off, and he knows it, but he'll do everything he can to encourage you to throw yourself down. In the moment you get to a place in your walk with God where you're at an elevated place, here's Jesus in the holy city, holiest city in the world, at the top of the temple, and Satan says, "Throw yourself down." Well, when we get to elevated places in our Christian walk, we need to be aware and not throw ourselves down. No, don't jump off. And it's interesting that he's at the pinnacle of the temple. Today, who is the temple? What is the temple? You are. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Satan says, "Jump off. Don't do that. Maintain your faith in Christ." And then last week at the end, I didn't do a whole message on it, but at the end we talked a little bit about when Satan again comes, takes him up to the top of the mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory thereof and says, "If you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this stuff." I can only imagine Jesus in the back of his mind saying, "What, are you kidding me? I created all this stuff." One thing that tells you is how stupid Satan can be sometimes, just trying to get you to take something that you are, worship him over something that you already own. Think about that for a moment. God's given you all these blessings, and yet Satan wants the credit for it. But the point is, who are you going to give your allegiance to? Is it to the devil, or is it to God? And of course, Jesus maintains his allegiance to his Father and rebukes the devil, and the devil leaves him. And we also talked about using your armor, having your loins girded with truth, your feet shod with peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. which is the Word of God. And we read through there and we noticed that, you know what, every time that Jesus went up against the devil in spiritual warfare, he used the Word of God. It's very important that you know God's Word and that you know how to apply it. Because if you remember correctly, Satan tried to use God's Word too in the middle of that, but he took it out of context, and Jesus was aware of that and didn't fall for his trick. Never, ever let the devil tempt you into using God's Word to justify your sin. I know a lot of people that do that. Know what it says, know how to apply it. And so those are a lot of the things, the don'ts. I want to give you some do's based on this story. The first do is to know and accept the fact that you will be tempted and you will be tested. You need to know that. You need to be very aware of that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If Jesus, the Son of God, is going to be led by the Spirit of God into a place of testing, what makes you think that you and I are not going to experience that same thing? Do know that you will be tempted, that you will be tested, that you will experience some wilderness times. My wife and I had dinner last night with somebody who's experienced a little moment of wilderness, feeling like they're all alone, like they're just not hearing God, like they're just in a place where, you know, be very careful when you get in that place. Because what happened is God put Jesus in the position to where he was going to prove himself as to who he was going to give his allegiance to. And believe me, I know people, and you know people, that when they get into a quiet place, they get into a place where they're not hearing God, or they're just feeling alone, or they're just, I'm not being fed, I don't feel it, I don't fit in. That is a place where Satan is going to come along and he's going to tempt you to lead you astray. And I've seen far too many people wander off. When you get in those places, know that you are being tempted, that you are in a place, you are in the position where Satan, a position in the wilderness where Satan can come along and try to take advantage of you. If you are one of those that are looking for pillows and roses gospel, understand that that's not the gospel. You might be thinking to yourself, well, I didn't sign up for this. I went to church because I wanted to be blessed by God. I didn't go to church because I wanted to be tore up by the devil or tested or tempted by the devil. Well, pillows and roses gospel is not for those who want to be strong in the Lord. Let me, you understand what I'm saying? If all you want is the pillows and roses, you're never going to be strong in the Lord. The moment the wind blows, you're going to fall over. The moment the fire comes, you're going to burn up and be consumed. The moment the water rises, you're drowning. There's a reason for testing. And we need to be tested in order that we can prove our devotion to God. Do you know that? Think of it like a sports team, perhaps. You know who gets to play? The people who work the hardest. And you know what? They get put through some tests. Go out there and run. Get over there and do some push-ups. How strong are you? The strongest and the fastest? Those that are most agile? Those who can think clearly in the midst of the storm? Under the pressure, they can withstand the pressure. They're not afraid of being knocked down. They can get back up. Those are the ones that play. But the guy that says, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get knocked down. You see those other guys? They're big. You know, it baffles me. I watch football players. You'll have a 5-foot-nothing guy that weighs 160 pounds, and he wants the ball. And there's 300-plus pounders all standing on the other side of the line who don't want him to have the ball.
They got to catch him. That boy better be well tested and well proved before he grabs hold of that ball. And so don't be looking for a feels good kind of gospel. Let me tell you, this is going to be hard to swallow. I'm going to give you some hard to swallow this morning, okay? God is more interested in your integrity than he is your feelings. You know that? I've been dealing with some folks lately. Well, it just this just feels right for me to do this. I'm sorry, God's word says do not do that. Well, I don't know. It just this is how I feel. God is more interested in your integrity than in your feelings. Your feelings will lead you astray. Think about, we've been talking about spiritual warfare, who you're going to give your allegiance to, walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. What are your feelings attached to? Your flesh. And so if you're living by your feelings, you are walking in the flesh. You are not walking in the spirit. What is your integrity attached to? Your devotion to God. That's your spirit. You walk in your spirit, not in the flesh. Well, how do you find out if you have integrity? You're given an opportunity to fail. Satan comes along, gives you, hey, look at this over here. All you have to do is worship me and you can have it. Danny with $150 there on the bench. Oh, boy. Gloria, I know that's been the same situation. Lord, why do you put me in this position? Because I want to know who you're going to give your allegiance to. And let me tell you something. When the test is over, you will experience exceeding joy, which is only given to those who have suffered with Christ. Do you understand that? You know, you want feelings? Go after the joy that comes from serving the Lord. The joy that comes from doing the right thing. I'll guarantee you, Danny could have used that $150 the other day. No doubt. But I'll tell you what, that $150 will not replace the joy that he gets because he knows he did the right thing. 1 Peter 4:13 says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." You see, testing and tempting, being put in a wilderness and hungry, and it's all for a purpose and for a reason. It's to strengthen you. It's to help you to know who you are. And it's to help God and the devil to know who you are. Who it is you're going to give your allegiance to. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." You know, I hear this a lot. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why would God let so-and-so go through that? So-and-so is such a believer, such a lover of God. Well, you know, gold is not purified without fire. Amen? That's a hard thing. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? But 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Nothing that we go through will even come close to what we're going to experience when we see Jesus. Nothing. I'm of the mindset and very much convinced that no matter what happens in my life, the day that I see Jesus Christ, none of it's going to matter. And if I suffer tragedy or trial, when I stand before him, I'm not going to be asking God, "Why did, really? You killed me that way?" Somebody, I was having a conversation with a bunch of pastors the other day, and they were talking about this, and the one guy said, yeah, think about Jim Elliot, 25 years old, down in Ecuador, you know, trying to reach people that have never heard the gospel, and he gets speared to death. Really? Here's a guy out there doing it. Here's a guy out there who's got a message for the lost, and he found some people that have no idea. Well, I guarantee you, Jim Elliot, when he stood before Jesus after that dreadful day, he didn't have a question in his mind. Really, God? A spear? No. I'm sure he said, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me home, for being my God and showing me the way. I'm very sure I won't have any questions for the Lord, because as soon as I see his face, I'll know in everything he was right, in everything he was just, in everything he was trustworthy. And from that moment on, I'm pretty sure, similar to that song we sing, it's going to be something where we're so much awe of him, we're not going to know whether to stand up, sit down, speak, or cry. It's just going to be well worth all of the temptation, all of the testing, all of the trials. I wish I were more alert when it comes to preparing messages. I would have brought a bunch of pillows to throw at you this morning. With roses. Yes, brother. Sometimes that is the truth. We might be praying for God to change our circumstances, but God changes us. Amen. That's the purpose of the circumstance. You know, if we would know that, if we would understand that. Some of us... Well, it's very important, and that's a good thing my wife just brought up. How many have been through the same thing over and over and over? Pass the test, would you? How many times are you going to go through the third grade? As many times it takes until you know the material and you can pass the test. God wants you to know him. He wants you to know what it's all about. Pray. If you've been struggling, you've been going through the same thing over and over, pray, God, what am I missing? I really want to get this. I really want to pass this test. Because I know there's another one later. It's like the obstacle course that the Marines use. As soon as you climb over the wall, there's an ocean to swim across. As soon as you swim across the ocean, there's spikes or a thing you got to crawl through or whatever, you know. But all the way looking for the prize. You see Harley here the other day? I couldn't have been more proud of that kid. Standing here just so tall. And well, you know what? He went through some stuff before he got to that place. And someday we're all going to stand tall with our heads held high saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you put me through to get me to where I am today. Amen. Do be aware and accept the fact that you will be tempted and tested. Another do get prepared and stay prepared for battle with the devil. Cruz and I, when watching, whoever watched the movie Hoodwinked, love that movie. Favorite part of that movie is when Little Red Riding Hood goes up the mountain to the goat's house. And the goat starts singing a song about being prepared. I'm not going to imitate him today. I cracked myself up. Oh, you know what? Again, if I were more prepared at preparing my... I could have played that clip for you today. That would have... No, that's all right. The movie Hoodwinked. It's a cartoon. But that scene is probably my favorite cartoon scene of all time. The goat singing the prepared song. Prepare yourself for battle with the devil. Because he's coming. I'll guarantee you. He is coming. How do you do that? I wouldn't want to just tell you, be prepared for war, without telling you how to do that. Do it the way that Jesus did. I remember we made mention there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, it says that he fasted for 40 days. And we talked about fasting and prayer. That's how you prepare yourself for war. You get in the presence of God and you pray and you call on his name. God, I know there's stuff coming, and I pray you give me the strength, the courage, the wisdom to know how to go through that and win the battle when it comes. Fasting is a powerful form of prayer, and Jesus did it often. It says that we know that in Mark chapter 9, verse 29, Jesus told his disciples who weren't able to cast out the demon out of the little boy, Jesus said, this kind only comes out by fasting and praying. By prayer and fasting. And we talked about fasting, how it's a denial of the flesh. It's the ultimate expression of walking in the Spirit when you are denying the flesh of its pleasures. And that's why it's a powerful thing in prayer. And I get that from Dave Siriano's book, that last one, Integrated Warfare, or Intergalactic Warfare. It's a great book, by the way. I encourage you to read it. But just having the understanding that you're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. You can't really have a foot in both sides of the fence. And so when you're walking in the Spirit and you're spending time in prayer and in fasting, what you're really doing is preparing yourself for the battle that's to come. And I know that Jesus fasted more than that. Do you remember when he was at the well with the woman? And she was going to get a drink, and Jesus said, well, if you ask me for a drink, you'd never thirst again. And then after that whole experience, the disciples come back because they had gone into town to get something to eat, and they bring some food out to Jesus, and they say, here's some food. And he says, no, I don't need it. I got food that you don't even know about. He was talking about the fulfillment that you get for doing the work of God in the ministry. He was fasting. I don't need the food. So prepare yourself. This is a do. This is something we can learn here from this experience. Prepare yourself for battles to come. Nobody joins the Army or the Air Force or the Marines or the Navy or the National Guard or whatever military service of your choice. Nobody goes in there the first day and they put them on the front line. Nobody. They prepare them. You'll go through boot camp. You'll go through battle camp. You'll go through whatever your field of expertise camp is going to be, and they will prepare you and train you and get you ready for the battles to come. Well, in the spiritual realm of things, we need to be prepared. That's why we need to have a lifestyle of prayer, lifestyle of fasting, lifestyle of reading God's Word, so that we know. How many know that it's important to be experienced with the weapon that you use? Harley the other day gave us an example. He said, you know what, I was shooting on the M16 course, and I hit the expert mark, and he gave credit to his grandfather all those times out shooting wherever, but they trained him on the weapon that he may need to use. Well, the only weapon that we need, that we have to use, is God's Word. Read it. Prepare for battle with fasting and prayer and knowing how to use your weapon. Amen? It's very important. So do accept the fact you're going to be tested. Do prepare for battles. Do recognize when you're being taken for a ride. Oh boy, if we could get this one. Recognize when you're being taken for a ride by the devil. It says in verse 5, the devil took him. The devil took him to the top of the temple, the pinnacle of the temple. And then it says again in verse 8, again the devil took him to a high mountain. Think about where you're at right now, what's going on in your life, whatever trial or testing that's going on. Is the devil taking you for a ride? It's not a joy ride. And guess what? He loves to take us for a ride and show us all the things of the world and put us in high places in our walk and this and that, and then say, hey, just give your allegiance to me. Recognize when you're being taken for a ride. How do you recognize when you're being taken for a ride? It's pretty simple. If you've got to give your allegiance to the devil in order to get what it is that you're going after right now, you're being taken for a ride. It says the Spirit led him into the desert, into the wilderness. Satan took him all these other places. Sometimes I wonder if, you know, what was the whole point of the children of Israel going through the desert in the Old Testament? After they'd come across the Red Sea and they're out in the desert, the whole point in that desert experience was for them to be tested, and they failed the test because they didn't understand. They chose the ride that the devil had for them rather than the gift that God had for them. They failed. They did not want to prepare for the battle. Remember, they were afraid, oh, there's giants in the land. But if they would have remembered back in Exodus, God said, I'll drive them out for you. He said, I'll go before you. And they forgot that. And then when they got there, they thought, oh my gosh, we got to fight these. Well, if they remembered what God had told them, if they were prepared, they would have known that they didn't have to even lift a finger. God was going to do the work for them. But instead, they saw the enemy, and they got taken for a ride. Satan said, oh, look, you got to fight those guys. And they got scared, ran back to the desert, and all the ones that were scared lost their lives in the desert. A whole generation. Recognize when you're being taken for a ride. They should have stood up like Joshua and Caleb and said, yeah, we can take them. With faith in her heart, knowing that God was going to win. It was God's battle, not their battle. Recognize when you're being taken for a ride. And finally, do know that the devil will eventually leave and ministering angels will come. I mentioned last week, and I've mentioned this before, everybody wants ministering angels, right? Somebody, my son had an experience last week. The brakes went out on my van that he's driving down there, and he, praise God, he didn't run into the car in front of him. He swerved out through somebody's yard and ended up in their driveway or whatever. And somebody said to me, his angels were watching over him. We all like the idea that we have angels ministering over us, right? Well, understand this. You're in the heat of a battle right now. Keep resisting the devil. Keep resisting the devil. Using God's word, the sword of the Spirit. Trusting and knowing. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, at the end of our story, the devil left him. Angels came and ministered to him. But in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, Jesus had to resist the devil 3 times in that particular experience, and he finally left. I can't tell you whether he's going to leave the first time or the 10th time. All I know is you need to stand strong, keep resisting the devil, he will leave. And then angels will come and minister to you. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee for you. But James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What's that mean? God draw near to you. How does God draw near to you? Well, if you read through your Bibles, you will see many places. I remember, was Elisha? When his servant came, we're surrounded. God said, open his eyes, let him see the angels. And there was chariots all around. There's more for us than there is of them. Angels were right there ministering. Daniel, when he prayed, what did Michael say? Or Gabriel? Which one was it? Gabriel? Gabriel. Am I right? I think so. It was Michael. Michael? One of those guys. I believe it was Michael. I didn't put it in my notes. I didn't look it up. I just... Mike. But then... Mike. It's not even Wednesday. Michael, I'm going with Michael, shows up and says, you know what? From the moment you started to pray, I was on my way. No, I think it was Gabriel, because Michael came and helped him. It was Gabriel. I'm going with Gabriel. Michael came and helped him against the Prince of Persia. Which tells me two things. The moment he prayed, an angel was sent to minister to him. Praying is very important, right? Angels will come. The devil will flee, and angels will come. But the other thing about that story about Daniel, you know, here Daniel is, and he's praying. Think about your prayers, okay? How selfish are we in our prayers? Most times we're very selfish. What was Daniel doing? He was praying for his nation. He was repenting for his nation. And think about that for a moment, because the angel that came and ministered to him was battling over nations. It was the Prince of Persia that he was battling with. It was about national things, not just Daniel's little personal thing. National things. Don't pray too small of prayers. Amen? Maybe a lot of our troubles are because our nation is in trouble. And we need to be praying bigger prayers. Michael and Gabriel, both of them, are like the top dogs on the angel pole, okay? Archangels. And here Daniel all by himself, just down there praying, just little old Daniel, one person in the world, and he's got the two greatest angels in God's army at his side. Angels will come. It may be a battle right now, but God's got a purpose and a plan in it all. Stand your ground. Win the spiritual war. The devil will eventually leave, and angels will eventually come in, and you will be blessed. Matthew 24, verses 12 through 13 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What's that saying? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What that's saying is because there's going to be testing and trial and sin to grab hold of, many of them are going to fail the test and they're going to fall away from God. Be aware. But verse 13 says, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Anybody like the word endurance? That one goes along with patience, goes along with long suffering. Certain words that is like, really? Well, you know what? The guy who really wants to be the Marine, he doesn't look at that wall and say, really? He says, I'm going to get over that thing. He doesn't look at that razor wire covering, you know, over top of the mud hole that he's got to crawl through and say, oh, really? I go through that? No, he says, you know what? I'm coming out the other side of there. He who endures to the end. You're facing a trial and temptation, you stand strong. You convince yourself, you get in your heart, you know what, with God, I can do all things, right? Through Christ who strengthens me, I'm going to win this. I am not going to let this drug problem destroy my life. I'm going to win this. And that's just one example that just came to mind. I'm not picking on anybody this morning. You know, I could have said anything. Drugs, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever. And I love rock and roll, but you got to be careful. A little picky choosy there. Drives me crazy that some of my favorite guitar licks are attached to songs that say Highway to Hell. It's like, no, don't do that. Not good. Huh? Expression? Yeah. He who endures to the end. If you're going to get your dander up to go after God and win this war. Psalm 26, I'll close with this verse. Psalm 26, verse 1, David says, judge me, O Lord. Now, I didn't do the research. I don't know exactly when he said this, whether it was before or after he had fallen in sin.
But David says this, and I can see David doing this even after his fall, after his repentance. How many know that repentance, when you repent, the past no longer exists in God's eyes? It's done. As long as you truly repent, right? I thank God for that, because I don't want to be responsible for my past anymore, because that had a death sentence attached to it. But once I repented, I'd like to be able to say like David right here in Psalm 26, verse 1, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to win this spiritual war. I'm not going to fall back. I'm not going to, because I have integrity, because I trust in you, God, I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to fall prey to the tempter. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Many do's, a few don'ts. The important thing is that we are equipped for what God has called us to do in every way. Hallelujah. Are you in a battle this morning? You're not sure if you can win it? Spend a few moments here at this altar asking God to give you strength and courage. Maybe today be the day that you start preparing yourself for battle in a way that you never had before, through prayer and fasting and reading of God's word. You know what? Even if you are victorious in battle, it's a good thing to come and spend some time in God's presence at this altar, thanking Him for victory. Knowing that there's going to be more coming. So what'd you learn in church today? Oh, that there's a battle coming. That doesn't sound too encouraging. But know this, God has given you everything you need to win that battle. That is encouraging. Lord, I thank you for the example that you set in your word, showing us how to do spiritual warfare, showing us, God, that we can have victory. I pray that the lessons that we learn from this portion of Scripture, God, would be deep in our hearts, and that we would walk in it daily, trusting in you, prepared and ready, determined, as David was determined not to slide. Lord, where we lack integrity, I just pray that you'll pour out upon us a desire to please you. Lord, that we would not be phony or fake in front of you. That we would not twist your word to justify our sin, but God, we would know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And God, that we would not slide. I pray for all that may be in a battle today, that
they seemingly aren't winning. Lord, that you would help them, guide them, show them the way, God, that leads to life and exceeding joy in you. As we suffer with Christ, oh God, may we look forward to the day when we see him face to face and all of our trials and tribulations are over. Forgive us of our sin. Set us free to worship you, God. Lord, probably each and every one of us have at some one time in our lives, if we're not now, we've probably done it before. We've eaten the stones. We've jumped off the temple. We've given our allegiance to the devil and different things. I thank you, God, that when we repent, we turn to you, that you wash us clean from those failings, those times when we messed it up. Our desire, God, is to walk in the light of your love, in the joy of your presence. I pray that each and every person, when we leave this place, will be empowered by your Spirit, God, to recognize when we're being taken for a ride by the devil, and to have enough wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word that we'd be able to resist him each and every time. I pray for endurance. Endurance to the end. Thank you, Jesus. Send angels to us, oh God, as we worship you. Hallelujah. Bless you, church. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Adore you. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this day and this time that you have given us to worship you. Hallelujah. Tonight we'll be back studying the book of Revelation. I encourage you to come out and enjoy that. It's been good. God's been blessing. We've been learning a lot of things. If you're available Wednesday nights, come out and check out the Celebrate Recovery program. I know you'll be blessed. Love and encourage one another as we're dismissed this morning. Have a great day. Share your love with Jesus, with someone. Amen. Don't keep it to yourself. Let it shine. Let it just come out. Bless someone else with the love that he has given you. Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. I will adore you.
adore you.